Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And we're going to be talking about the great need of the hour, contentment and gratitude. I mean, there is so much right now to be satisfied with. There's so much to be grateful for and to be content. But I'm finding that the more I intersect with people in society and just people are very easily, they're dissatisfied, they're discontent with what they're what they have in their life, what's going on. And I believe that's a huge trap for us. You know, everyone, no matter what position they're in, they always want to take it a step higher. No one wants to say, well, hey, this is a pretty good place. It's always about more. And we got to take a look and say, okay, where are we? You know, one of the definitions for content means to be satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state that I find myself in. It's pretty important that I am satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted. And a lot of people have their peace, they're robbed, there's no inner peace, there's always a disturbance going on because they're just not happy with how things are going in their life. There could always be more. They could always have more comfort. And at what point do we stop and say, thank you? You know, at what point do we say, hey, this is enough. This is enough. And I think that we need to raise our vision from not just being an American citizen, I'm talking to believers here, not just Americans and not to be global citizens, but we need to raise our vision and understand that we are global Christians. And as a global Christian who didn't choose what country to be born in or even when to be born, that we just got blessed. If you're living in America, we just got hooked up, if you will. And this is one of the most powerful, wealthiest nations in the entire world by far. And we have so many different things at our disposal, so many different things that are so easily accessible, they don't even come to our mind. They don't even come, it doesn't even register. We don't have a grid for it. When you think about just the simple things of being able to drive down the store, drive down the road and notice that there are not just one drugstore, but there are drugstores literally right across from each other. That there's so much competition that they're literally right across the street. It would be nice to be able to go to one drugstore, but now drugstores not only contain drugs, but they have all different type of things that you can purchase at these stores, no matter what they are. And it's the enemy's plan to get us focused on ourselves, is to get us focused on what we don't have instead of appreciating what we do have. And I've always said this before, you know, people always are you know, coveting the new car or the this or the that, you know, and it's like you come to a point where you just say, you know, I'll just be happy to be at zero, you know, just get me to zero and you'll be okay. Because here's the thing, you know, a lot of these things don't satisfy. It's false. You know, the word covet is to have an inordinate wrong desire for something or someone to yearn or possess something that you don't presently have. And that's why the Bible tells us in one of the Ten Commandments that we should not covet. We should not have this inordinate desire for something that doesn't even belong to us, that belongs to our neighbors. It's that I gotta have it type of thing. And we want to be careful about that. We want to be careful about that because it's amazing how you don't desire something that you know nothing about. If you don't know anything about it, the latest whatever, you don't have a desire for it, right? Because you didn't even know it existed. But it's like the moment that thing came into your awareness,
and
you're right?
You have, and you want the new thing.
It's like, oh, I gotta have it. Oh my goodness. How was I living without it? You know? And that's the job of a TV commercial. The job of a TV commercial is to show you, hey, you don't have this handy dandy thing, but if you had it, your life would be so much better.
Yeah, here's a word of thought. Get you some of that fresh new car smell and just keep spraying. You're like, wow, man, I got a fresh new car. It's like, you don't need that fresh new car because you already got it.
Think about it.
Yeah.
And so, people that are constantly living in a place of dissatisfaction, constantly living in it with a disturbed spirit, a disquieted soul, they're always looking for that next fix.
Right.
Whether it is to purchase something, maybe people call it even shop therapy. You know, I need to go shopping. And they'll go for a momentary fix. Maybe they'll purchase something. Maybe they'll eat something. There are a lot of people that are comforting themselves by just looking to eat the next thing. And think about it. I mean, food, I mean, there's something, I mean, everyone loves delicious food. But when you think about it, food is supposed to be there for fuel and to help our bodies to perform. Mm-hmm. But much of the food that we eat, a lot of it is taste-driven.
Right.
And which is, you know, it's pleasurable. But look how fleeting it is. I mean, you think about it. You eat something that tastes so good, but it's like, it's gone. And that was like 300 calories. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's over.
Right.
It's done. This added nothing to your life. And it's like, oh my goodness, was it worth it? You know, and look at what we're living with, you know, and I don't believe that God doesn't mind us having stuff. He minds stuff having us. Mm. He minds that we find our satisfaction, our contentment, our joy, our you know, sense of gratitude, that he minds if it's found in things and people and stuff, as opposed to being found in him. And I think about the rich young man in Matthew 19, and I'll paraphrase this parable because we don't want to get into the details, you know, of it. But basically, you know, the rich young man, he said, I've done all these things. I've kept all these commandments since I was a young boy. And Jesus, having a word of knowledge, knew that he struggled with wealth and knew that he struggled with you know, possessions. He says, well, listen, this is one thing you still need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, what's that? You know, he said, we got to sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And that's not the case for everybody, but it was definitely the case for this man. And Jesus pulled his card.
Right.
And he left.
Oh, yeah.
He was gone because that was not something that he was willing to do. And we continue to read that, oh, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And many people today, if you spoke to them, desire to be rich. I mean, really, if you desire to them, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with having more than enough. There's nothing wrong to have an abundance in your life where you can meet your needs, the wants of your family, and even more so that you can sow and give to the advancement of the kingdom. That's a good thing. But many people desire not just to be well off, if you will, but they really truly desire riches. And part of that is because of what they see on the media, what they see on television, a glamorized life.
It looks good.
And you think about it. I mean, how many pairs of shoes can you wear?
Right.
I mean, how many cars can you drive? And how many houses can you live in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can only be in one room at one time anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it comes to a point where you realize that, you know, what is it about wealth? And although many people would like to have that type of wealth, the truth is that not many people can handle that type of wealth. I remember when we talked to that Pat and I, and I think Greg, we were having this conversation with the Arkansas millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember what he said. He said, with great wealth comes great responsibility. And I never forgot that. And that's true, because with great wealth, you need to be, as a believer, accountable to God for what is entrusted to you in your hand. He's allowed that to come across, you know, your hands, and for you to be a good steward of what God has put in there. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about how we can enjoy the life that God has so richly and blessed us with. What a shame to live 20, 30, 40, 50 years with a covetousness spirit, with not being satisfied, being disquieted in your soul and in your spirit because you don't have what you think you want, because you think by getting it, that's going to make you satisfied in life. There's many people that have lived a reckless life. You know, the Bible warns us about the desire to be rich, to get wealth, because it leads to emptiness. Some people even lose their own faith. Listen, godliness with contentment is great joy. And we're talking about the great need of the hour, which is to being contentment, to be content and to be satisfied with what we have. You know, having covetousness, that in your heart, that's focusing on what you don't have. But contentment is being joyful and satisfied and happy for what you do have. And that's why the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. But we're talking about wealth and with how many people desire to have great wealth and riches, but with wealth and riches comes great responsibilities. And there's something about wealth. When people have wealth, it opens opportunities and doors to things, places, and people. When you have a lot of wealth, you have new doors to things, you have access to people, and you have access to places that maybe someone who's not wealthy or has abundance has. And I think about, to pull a name out, Donald Trump in New York City. You know, when I used to visit New York City, him and I had two different views of New York City. There are places that...
Y'all used to hang out?
Oh, no. See, that's what I'm trying to say. He has access to people, places, and things that I did not have access to. I'd just drive by and say, hey, you know, I was more on the Washington Heights side. You know, he was more in Midtown or something. This is a whole different world that you'd never experience because you don't have that type of wealth.
Mm.
And what happens for a lot of times is that people that have access to these type of resources, they oftentimes, if they're not careful, will look to have a quick fix because they can, by the stroke of a pen or by the slide of a card, can get a fix for a person, things, or places to bring that momentary part of a satisfaction to their life, to that momentary joy where they can kind of get over why they're dissatisfied or why they're disgruntled. And it's like many people here in America. We wouldn't consider ourselves to be awfully wealthy, but we are extremely wealthy. Mm-hmm. We are in the top 5% of the world in terms of wealth. And think about it. Think about all the different things that different industries that exist today in America that don't even begin to really, you know, exist in some places of the world. I mean, just look at the pet food industry alone. I mean, some animals eat better than some people around the world. I mean, really think about that. It's a $1 billion industry. And think about the beverages that are available to us and all the different types of flavors and Cokes and just, I mean, coconut water and energy drink. I mean, just you think about it. Again, things that just momentary things that we take for granted. We were talking in a previous program about how much we enjoy coffee, but who would have thought that you could live in a place where you can spend every day, all day, folks, $5, $6, $7 for a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And these are luxuries, and this is not about, you know, making us feel guilty for what's available to us, but it's hopefully an opportunity to challenge our paradigm of thinking. Yeah, to give us perspective, to realize, you know, what a shame to be growing up in the lap of luxury, you know, and then considering yourself a peasant, only to find out your life later when it ends, you are living in all the abundance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it helps us to have a perspective when we think about, you know, global Christians, when we think about our brothers and sisters that are literally struggling in the world because they don't have physical needs met. Forget joys, forget the extras, just physical needs met. And what we want to be careful about is that we're not trying to meet a place of joy, of comfort, of satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. There's so many. That's why I believe the Bible says that it's hard for a rich man to come into the kingdom. Because they're trying to reach a utopia outside of God. And that's impossible. Again, God doesn't mind us having nice things and to be blessed and to have, you know, whatever it is that we enjoy. But he does mind that if our whole life is revolved around making ourselves happy, ourselves finding joy in things, places, people, and stuff. And you got to come to a point in your life where, man, my joy in life, my contentment, my all I need is Jesus.
Right.
Uh-huh. If I just have Jesus, I have enough. And I believe that he alone is truly enough. I believe that he alone is truly enough. And that's where we really begin to start living the abundant life, where we look for opportunities to spend more time with him because we enjoy the pleasure of his company. When we pass out on, you know, pass off the opportunities to do maybe other things that, I mean, we're living in a land of entertainment. Any shiny object, any movie, any electronic, any digital thing to pull us away.
Right.
It's a temporary joy. It's a temporary, small, minute thing when we can be experiencing unlimited amounts of extreme joy and pleasure and intimacy by just spending time with the Father.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, what you're saying is that perspective is just like, how big of a travesty would that be? It's just like when you live in such a blessed land and you live your whole life thinking the fact that, you know, like you said, you're living as a beggar, come to find out that you're in the lap of luxury. And it's just like, I think about how so many people in the church are living like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you said yes to Jesus. He's your Savior and you're reading the Bible. And it's just like, I want to just challenge you to have that perspective that, like, he's a king. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're a son. He says, I call you son. I call you daughter. You've had access to everything in my house all this time. And it's just like, how many in the church right now have that same perspective? And they're like, God, hey, can I come in? And it's just like, no, you're family.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just want to take that, you know, encourage you to take that top off of your thinking. And it's just like, he loves you. And it's just like, wealth is not about a paycheck. Wealth is that you are abundant in love. You're having the abundance of forgiveness and mercy and just empathy. And it's just like, allow God to just really challenge you to, you know, change that perspective of just like, you have all the riches in Christ and you're seated with him in the heavenly realms. You are with him when he's seated next to the Father. You're right there.
That's the joy. Yes. That's the pearl of great price.
And it's like when we have that perspective, and it's just like when you look at it, imagine that there's somebody in Indy or whoever else, and it's just like, and I think about many times that you've said before is that someone, when they came to visit America, the one thing that they brought home was the advertisements of the food that we have in America. And it's like, when you think about that perspective, and it's just like, think about that. And it's just like, when we are who we are as sons and daughters in Christ, in the church, and it's just like, we are right there with him in the heavenly
Absolutely.
Realms.
This is what Paul said. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to learn to be content. Right. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation,
Amen.
Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, this is the secret. Are you ready? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things in the self-sufficiency, in the all-sufficiency of Christ that lives in me, that God can give us grace, supernatural ability to have strength, to endure, to overcome any circumstances that we face. God is enough. You may be lacking here, you may be lacking there, but God is the God of plenty. He is full of so much love for you. Hang your hat on him. Make him the centerpiece of your life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.